Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Gary Harvey preaching at our 2013 fall meeting.
Well, you've heard the gospel preached in great power. I am overwhelmed. It sounds to me like living by faith means activity.
Yes, sir. He saw their faith.
You know, I love what Brother Jesse's just preached. It's hard not to just want to, you know, jump up and down, say amen, and maybe preach it again. Sounds to me like living by faith means activity. And Brother Jesse's also pointed out some of the paradoxes that are in the scriptures, how things sound like one thing, but then it turns, it's sound like it wouldn't be right, but then it turns out it's right. The New Testament Christian. Keeps the law way better than an Old Testament law keeper.
That's right. For the right reason too.
And I would submit for your consideration tonight that the freest man on the planet is the one that deems himself the bond slave of Jesus Christ. Well, what a sermon you've heard. And I'm so thankful I got to hear it. I want to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 18. If you want to open your Bibles and turn there with me. As you're turning there, I want to say something about what Brother Richard taught us. Brother Richard taught us that you can't have fellowship out on your own. You know, outside the camp, all by yourself. And I thought, man, that just rung my bell. And then I got to thinking, you know, we're supposed to be evangelistic. I'm going to say this with all the love in my heart. I would love to see the day when Primitive Baptists are as automatically evangelistic as our brothers and sisters in other orders. That it's just as automatically natural for us to share what we believe in an attitude of thankfulness and joy and privilege, that we would share that with others and be it as automatic and natural to us. I would love to see that day.
Amen.
And I believe if that day would come, God might bless us to grow. Oh, boy, I need your prayers. Jeremiah 18. If you're depending on your pastor to do all that evangelistic work, it will not get done.
That's right.
Oh, mercy. You know people he does not know. You know, you've got a circle of influence that he does not have. So, get with the program. Now you say, well, you're bossing me around. No, that's a privilege under Christ. Okay. Jeremiah 18. 1-6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words, Jeremiah. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." You know, he's kicking that thing, and that thing's a turning, and he's making him a pot. That's what he's doing. He's throwing a pot on a wheel. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." So something went wrong. And I even like the English of this. I like the English of this. I want you to know the Word of God is in English.
Amen.
Okay? It's in English. I am glad to tell you, you do not have to learn Greek and Hebrew to read the Word of God.
Amen.
It is in English. Anyway, but notice, it doesn't even say that it says the vessel that he made of clay was marred. It doesn't say somebody marred it. It was marred. And it's like it just something went wrong. Is it the clay was wrong, bad? Something was wrong with the clay. And the vessel didn't turn out. It went bad. So, notice what God does not do. He does not throw the faulty pot on the rubbish heap. So, that's probably what I would have done. My patience are about that long. How are your patience? I think about the long suffering of God and I get my mind blown. Because mine are about... Okay, y'all pray for me, okay? The vessel that he made of clay was more than the hand of the potter. So, what did he do? He made it again another vessel. Same piece of clay. Made it another vessel. As seemed good to the vessel to make it. Nope. As seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, so what has happened? God has sent Jeremiah down there and he's seen this physical illustration of a spiritual truth. This potter making a pot. The pot goes bad. The potter takes the clay, reworks it into a good pot. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, I believe with all my heart I am speaking to spiritual Israel tonight. I am speaking to the spiritual Israel that the nation of Israel represented. Isn't it odd that people don't mind the unconditional election of the Jews as a nation, but reject the unconditional election of the infinite group of people that that nation represented. Oh man, I tell you, it's an unconditional election in both cases. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Now this has really, really rung my bell. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. In other words, God uses vessels that have flopped. Y'all hear me? You may have been while Jesse was preaching, and I thank God that I have the opportunity to share the pulpit with my dear friend, Jesse Stripling. You may have been thinking, oh my, I can't do that. You may have been thinking that's too much. You may have been thinking, and I know why, because I'm the same way. You may have been thinking, oh, look what I have done. Look what I have been. Well, I want you to know, the Lord, your vessel may have marred. I would even be willing to say you may have marred your vessel. I think I have marred mine. But the great thing, though, I'd like to leave you with tonight is that God uses and reworks and uses broken vessels.
Amen.
He has done it through the history of the world.
Amen.
God uses broken people. Broken people. Damaged people.
Amen.
Weak people. Imperfect people. God even uses sinful people to propagate His Word. He uses this kind of people to spread the gospel.
He uses this kind of people to spread His kingdom, to go out outside the camp and bring people back to the camp.
Amen.
But I love to think, listen, if you're on your own, you don't even have a camp to bring people back to. So stay in the camp, whatever you do. Stay in the camp. Man, I love to think about that. I gain strength from being with God's people, don't you?
Yeah.
And I need it so badly. And I would be willing to say that maybe you do too. You need the strength that we get from the fellowship of the saints. You get that strength, I tell you, it's so great. I don't know how people live without it. Do you?
No.
But I want you to know, you may be feeling tonight that you're weak and undone and poor and bankrupt, and I'm not even going to argue that with you. But I'm just going to tell you that's exactly the kind of person that God has used throughout history. That's the kind of person that God has used. Sometimes I think God uses the weakest and most undone to show His power and His glory. So I'd like you to leave here tonight knowing God can use you. Even you. Every one of you. To serve Him. To advance the kingdom. I tell you right now, I'm through apologizing for wanting us to advance the kingdom. More people. We need more people in the church.
Amen.
Donaldson Church needs more people. I hope you get so many people, you got to knock the walls out.
Amen.
I'm really serious about that.
Amen.
I tell you, and you say, well, boy, you're just wanting more numbers. Well, I am wanting more numbers because more numbers means more people. And more people means more people that know the truth of God's Word. And I believe that in time right here, God's going to get more glory than it would if there were fewer people here.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about in heaven because that's taken care of. And I started to start my sermon tonight. I'm already into this thing. I forgot how I was going to start. I was going to start by telling you that I know that God does not use men in immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. I know that. But God does use men. And God uses women. And God can even use children.
Amen, brother.
Let's just admit it. Okay? Let's admit it. I got an idea. Let's us preachers quit telling God's people all the stuff they can't do.
Amen.
And let's tell them what they can do in and through Christ.
Amen.
Now, that's going to require some of us to rethink some things. Mercy. Somebody's phone, that's pay me $50. Phone goes off, you have to pay the preacher $50. $100. Okay, you can give Sonny $50 and give me $50. Isn't that ironic how your phone goes off? I'm really joking. It's beeping now. Okay. God uses this kind of people because that's the only kind of people that are available. That's the only kind of people God's got available to use. Broken, wretched, messed up people. Yeah, people that have marred. And God has had to do something else to him. Now, are you willing to admit that God just might reform you? In fact, He has reformed you. If you're here tonight and you've been given eternal life, let me tell you how you know that. Do you love God? Do you love Christ? Do you hate sin? If so, you have eternal life. You have it. Don't say, I hope I have it. That means you're hoping to get it someday. Say, I believe I have it.
Amen.
Okay. If you're in that condition, God has made you able. You hear me?
God has put something in you that cannot sin. He's put something in you that's stronger than the devil. He's put something in you greater as He that's in you is greater than the He that's in the world. That's inside you. You've got power and you've got a capability of doing stuff. Now, I am understanding clearly that that part of you that He gave you is subject to the flesh, and that flesh is the automatic reaction. I know that. But with training, you can even overcome that. Yes, you can. We can live by faith like Jesse's taught us, being compassionate to others. And not just compassionate about, you know, the mule that's in the ditch, but compassionate about the guy that thinks he can't drink caffeine. In other words, the fella or the girl who has a bondage of spiritual error that's weighing them down. Which are the worst kind of bondages. God used crackpots. Crackpots. I mean, you know, we got pots, you got a crackpot. All of y'all are crackpots. Every one of you is a crackpot. Aren't we? I mean, come on. And you know, we've all got, and see, here's the thing about it. You know, the Christian, the person that's dedicated to God to some degree and dedicated to the gospel of Christ and comes to church and attends and all that, you know, the more you hear about Christ and the more you know about God, the more painful, aware you are of your fallen faults and failings. But if you're not real careful, the devil will use that to keep you from doing anything. I'm telling you, God uses people like you. God can even use someone like me to serve. I hope you can say amen to that. That's hard to admit. It's hard for me to say those words. But I hope you can admit that tonight. All right. I've got a long list here of people I wanted to mention to you that God used. Some whacked out people that botched their lives. Whacked out folks in the Bible that blew it, botched their lives, and God used them anyway. First one, Adam and Eve. Boy, did they blow it. They were nevertheless the fountainhead of the human race. And more importantly, perhaps, if you'll read carefully Genesis, you'll find out that they taught their boys, Cain and Abel, how to give to God. You know, there wasn't anybody around to teach Cain and Abel how to give except Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Somebody should have said amen, or at least, well, hmm. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, that's it. Who taught Cain and Abel to give of the first fruits? Boy, did they blow it. Boy, did they blow it for everybody. God used them anyway. Years later, there was a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was a stinking polygamist. Y'all know what I mean by that? A man who was crazy enough to marry more than one woman. Woo! That'll get me in trouble. When I think about a man marrying one woman, I think he's lost it. Because it's a job to take care of and please and look after one. And it is a great privilege because every man in here ought to be absolutely on fire to love his wife. I mean on fire, I mean burnt up, wanting to love his wife like Christ loved the church. So you got to be a bozo to marry more than one. But Abraham did. Wife came to him one day. They got impatient. Abraham got impatient. You ever been impatient? Did you know God uses impatient people? God uses impatient people. That's the only kind God's got to work with. Abraham got impatient. Sarah got impatient. Said, here's my handmaid Hagar. I'm sure that was appealing to Abraham's flesh. Oh, mercy. Most men have issues in that department. That's as politely as I know how to say that.
So they got ahead of God, got in the flesh, and along came Ishmael. Boy, did Abraham blow it again. Nevertheless,
God nevertheless, even after that, gave Abraham the promised child of Isaac. Anyway.
Now, am I saying that the people that do these things don't suffer for them? Absolutely not. I'm telling you, they suffer for them. Abraham's home was a disaster because of the presence of Hagar and Ishmael. And it eventually came to a parting of the blanket. Steals Martin's reputation. Right, and we're still suffering for that.
That's right.
Go over there. But anyway, finally, God said, okay. Abraham said, hasta luego. Send Hagar, Ishmael, you know that. And nevertheless, God blessed Abraham in so many ways. Abraham still went down to Lot. Abraham still interceded on the behalf of the righteous that were in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham still saw Melchizedek and had bread and wine. Abraham still took that boy up on the mountain and offered him to God in one of the most beautiful pictures of the substitutionary death I know of anywhere in the Word of God. Abraham did all that after he was a crackpot, after he was a polygamist, after all that mess. Abraham still did all that great stuff in the service of God. I hope that helps you and encourages you. Years later, a guy came along by the name of Moses. Moses was a murderer at age 40. Now you go find the details. He was a murderer at age 40. He hid the guy in the sand. I don't know what he thought that was going to do. Moses suffered because of that. Now, I don't want you thinking that I'm up here telling you it doesn't matter how you live. Are you hearing me? It matters how you live. Your eternal home is secure because of the blood of Christ. But you can get yourself into a hell on earth if you're not really careful while you live right here. It doesn't matter how you live. The glory of God is at stake. The advancement of the kingdom of God is at stake. Your personal health and well-being are at stake, along with the personal health and well-being of all the people that you touch and meet. Moses was murdered at 40. God sent him, and partially as a result of that, he spent 40 years on the backside of the Arabian desert. Man, herding sheep. God nevertheless used that crackpot Moses, that murderer, to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. I'd like you to think about all the stuff that Moses saw and did. And he was a murderer. The Bible even calls him in Numbers 12 the most meek man that was on the face of the earth. You know what, by the way, the word meek in the Bible does not mean limp-wristed milksop. It doesn't mean a wuss, if you'll pardon that term. It means someone who's not self-willed, someone who follows Christ. That's what it means. Moses was the greatest one on the earth, according to the Word of God, Numbers 12 and 3. After he was a murderer. God used him, didn't he? It's amazing. And then he led him for 40 years after their rebellion at Kadesh Barnea. Moses still led him. All right, by the way, was he perfect after that? He was not perfect after that. One day the Lord said, speak to the rock. He spoke to the rock. A little while later, the Lord said, speak to the rock. Moses said, how long have we got to bring water forth from this rock for you rebels? And he struck the rock. That did not please God too pretty good. God still used him. God still, even after that, y'all listen to me, God still supervised at Moses' burial. Yeah, he was an undertaker and then the Bobcat crew dug the grave, the whole smear. God did all that. Buried him on Mount Pisgah. Isn't that something? A crackpot like Moses. Years later, this guy by the name of David, you know what he did? Man after God's own heart. Man after God's own heart. He had the male issue that some males have issue with, apparently. You know, he was a polygamist too, doggone his hide. A polygamist. By the way, you may think that the guys in the Bible got by with polygamy. They most certainly did not. That, by the way, I appreciate what Jesse said about the law. I want you to know, we have, God's people have been under the same moral code since the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
The moral code, that moral law has never changed a whit. Murder was wrong then. Murder's wrong now. Marrying more than one woman wrong then. Wrong now.
Amen.
That standard is not altered. David married more than one. I don't care that King Saul gave him Michael. So what? And he saw Bathsheba. You know all the rest of the story. And I will say to you, David never fully got over the repercussions of what he did. His life was never the same. I want that clearly understood. But God still used him in a mighty way after that. God still gave him Solomon to sit on his throne after him. God still allowed David to gather the materials for the temple. Now, he couldn't build it, but he was allowed to gather materials. He was allowed to contribute to it. Notice that David was worried about the future of the church after his demise. Let us be the same way. The Bible called him a man after God's own heart even after he did that. Isn't that something? I hope you are seeing God uses people just like you. Just like you. He uses people just like you. You're the kind of people he uses. You. You say, well, I can't do a whole lot. Well, you can do what you can do. I tell you what you can do. I bet you can do more than you think you can do.
Amen.
In fact, I go on record saying I know you can do more than you think you can do. Because, see, the devil will tell you you can't do a lot. Don't listen to the devil when he tells you you can't do all this stuff. You can do a lot through Christ. Now, it's not in and of yourself. This we clearly understand, right? God even used some fallen women in the Bible that I just love to think about. Poor old Tamar. Y'all know what happened to Tamar? Bless her heart. She is in the lineage of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 1. Isn't that a mind blower? She was damaged goods, wasn't she? My personal favorite, Rahab. Rahab was a harlot. God could never use that kind of person. Right? God can't. No. No, no, no. Rahab the harlot gave an absolutely fabulous testimony to the children of Israel. She gave her confession of faith. As a result of that, she became a member of the Old Testament church. She married a man named Solomon. And their boy was named Boaz. And Boaz was the great granddaddy of King David. So we've got a harlot that God used to bring Messiah into the world in a human form. Can you comprehend that? That's the kind of person God uses. God uses that kind of person. You say, well, how can God use that kind of person? I don't know. That's just the kind of person that's out here available. If you think you've got to get your life all squared away for God to use you, put that out of your mind. One of the hardest things for a man who's called to preach to get in his through his head is that he's called to preach. Well, okay. But one of the hardest things for me to get through my head was that I was called to preach. I could not believe that. There's no way God would call me. It's impossible. But God calls some of the weirdest guys you've ever seen in the world to preach.
Right.
Including yours truly. No amens.
Amen.
A poorly timed amen is not. Oh my goodness. God picked some weirdos. Sonny was talking about Peter. Brother Sonny hurt my feelings. He said, "You're just like Peter. Loud mouth." Sonny talking to me. "You loud mouth. Shooting off the mouth all the time." Sonny telling me. And of course, you know what I said? Amen. Peter, it makes me think of me talking when he ought to have been listening. Peter was the very one that denied the Lord three times. He denied the Lord three times on the night before the Lord was crucified, when if the Lord ever needed him, he needed him then. And he denied the Lord three times. But the Lord did not put Peter on the rubbish heap. He didn't put any of these people on the rubbish heap. Y'all listen, he didn't put people on the rubbish heap. He didn't put these people on the rubbish heap. King David did get thrown out. Now, you can't do so bad you get thrown out. I know that. But these men, God reworked them and used them in His service. Peter was eventually the one that preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 were converted on the spot. I'll ask any of you, brethren, has that ever happened to you? 3,000? I'd just like to preach where there were 3,000. Brother Harold asked me the other day if I was going to go up to on a Saturday up to Razorback Stadium and when there's going to be, 70,000 people gathered there. And I said, "Are they going to let me preach?" They aren't going to let me preach at Razorback Stadium. If they will, I'll go. Anyway, goodness gracious. 3,000 converted under the ministry in one day of the apostle, Peter. The very one that denied the Lord. God didn't put him on the rubbish heap. Y'all listening to me? He used even Peter. He used him. Saul of Tarsus, my lands, persecuted. He was an enemy to truth, wasn't he? An enemy to truth. Persecuted the church. He was at least an accessory to murder at Stephen. And I would be willing to say that God never used any man any more than He used that man. He used the Apostle Paul to establish churches in the entirety of the Roman Empire before 70 A.D. And that includes the British Wales and England, which was called, Britain, I think. No. I forget what it's called in the first century. But anyway, Linda can tell me. But anyway, first century, you got churches established in what is now Britain. First century. Largely as a result of the labors of the man that held the coats of them at the stoning of Stephen, God's martyr. God didn't throw him on the rubbish heap. And as I close, God has even used people in advance of what He knew they would do. God used Solomon to build the temple. I don't think there's ever been a greater king on planet Earth than King Solomon. I don't think there's ever been any king. I don't think Nebuchadnezzar was a patch on Solomon. God used Solomon to build the temple. Set it all up. And if you want to read something fabulous, read 1 Kings chapter 8, which is Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. It is awesome. And I don't use that word lightly. God used that man in that mighty way, knowing that he would love many strange women. There's that male problem. And that those women would turn his heart away from God. As I close, you are exactly the kind of person
God uses. He uses broken vessels, crackpots. That's exactly the kind of person God uses. And I want you to do your best to make yourself available in every way you can that God will use you. And don't dread your future failures either. God won't throw you on the rubbish heap. I appreciate your real good attention.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Gary Harvey preaching at our 2013 fall meeting.